This morning we're going to read a passage from the Bible, from Psalm 127. I've been doing a series of messages, as you can see on the screen, Authentic Living in Today's World, and we've looked at a few different things already, and today we're going to look at how we can be authentic in our parenting. And for those of us who are parents, we know the challenge of that, and so we want to hear what God's Word has to say about that then this morning. So hear then the Word of God, Psalm 127. It's a psalm that's believed to have been written by King Solomon in the days of the Old Testament. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. And so far then, the reading of God's Word. Dear people of God, those of us who are parents know that being a parent is probably the hardest activity on the planet. Having children is a wonderful blessing, but the fact is, children don't come with an owner's manual. And I find it's amazing how much people can know about raising kids until they have their own. Then we find ourselves learning by trial and error. And even when we think we've got it figured out, God will invariably bless us with a strong-willed child that will keep us humble. As Tony Campolo says, today's parents are bewildered and not quite sure how to do the job. Confused about their role, they look to experts, hoping to find some clear instruction, but no such luck. The experts are just as confused as parents, says Campolo, as they seem to come up with conflicting opinions that change from year to year. Without a doubt, the family today is under fire and in a state of crisis. Statistics show that 50% of marriages end up in divorce, and statistics show that about 25% of families live in single-parent homes. We hear of latchkey kids who come home from school to an empty house because both of their parents are still at work. Domestic violence is on the increase. The home is now the most dangerous place other than a riot or a war. We hear of the growing incidents of abuse within our society, and sadly, even Christian families are not exempt from such abuse within the home. What hope can we as Christians receive for this dismal state of the family in our society? We turn to the time-tested wisdom of God's Word, which is as relevant today as in Bible times. Psalm 127 gives guidelines for a healthy family life that's workable, realistic, and full of promise. Psalm 127 is a wisdom poem written by King Solomon that calls to mind what he writes in Proverbs 22, verse 6, which says, "Start children off in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." Now, Psalm 127 is essentially a song of congratulations to celebrate the birth of a child. To build a house refers essentially to raising a family. And so we could paraphrase the beginning of this psalm as, unless the Lord builds the family, the parents do their building in vain. Now, Solomon compares the home to, to a city. And in those days, cities had walls built around them as protection from their enemies. And a watchman would walk around the walls looking for possible attacks. And the Bible repeatedly stresses that the Old Testament people of Israel, that they would only be secure when they looked to God for their protection instead of their city walls. The Old Testament shows Israel repeatedly turning away from God, leading them to fall victim to enemy attacks. And finally, Jerusalem got totally ransacked due to Israel's lack of trust in God. And so this psalm says in verse 2, near the beginning, it says, "In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat." In other words, without God's blessing in your home, your efforts are all for naught. Kind of like the farmer who works hard planting his fields from morning till late at night. But without God providing the proper balance of rain and sunshine, there isn't going to be much of a harvest. Now, I find it really interesting, reading this psalm and knowing it was written by Solomon, that these words of wisdom seem to have gotten lost on Solomon himself. Solomon lost his full trust in God when he started to worship some of the gods of his foreign wives, bringing disaster to his own family. And so we could ask, so what about us? Are there any gods that are threatening the well-being of our families? Some of us are tempted by the god of materialism. We keep pushing ourselves from dawn till dusk to try to get ahead in our lives, thinking that we need to have a new vehicle, thinking that we need a more comfortable home, that we need that new outfit, that we need the latest gadgets on the market, and we just keep pushing ourselves to try to get ahead with all those things. Psalm 127 flashes some warning lights, if that's our situation. In essence, it says, stop. There's danger ahead. This getting up early and dropping late into bed is pure vanity. Don't let the god of consumerism get the better of you. Who's setting the direction for your life? Is it the values and the people around you? Or are you looking to God for the values of your life? Psalm 127 reminds us about the ongoing challenge of keeping God at the center of our lives. And the psalm says that if that's not the case, then our efforts to build our homes will only be a counterproductive exercise in futility. You see, there's more to building a God-centered home than just going to church for an hour on Sunday or saying a quick prayer at mealtimes. For God to truly build our house means having Jesus as Lord, as master of our lives. That every activity of our lives is subordinate to our relationship with Jesus in our daily living. As Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 26 and 27, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. And the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Jesus calls us to build our house on the solid rock foundation of his word. Now, it's not that the Bible or this specific text here in Psalm 127 is against hard work or against monetary gain in our lives. But it does stress that a life of working from dawn to dusk can lead to a life with no inner security, where one lies awake at night worrying about how to pay the bills and to make ends meet. For those who seek first God's kingdom, for those who have God as a part of daily life, God promises a good night's sleep and freedom from worry. You see, when we find ourselves working ourselves to the bone, we need to ask, what am I doing this for? If I put everything into my work and there's no time or energy left for my family, what's the purpose of it all? And I'll have to admit that that's something I've had to deal with in my own life, especially when my kids were young and still at home. The challenge of trying to juggle the expectations of my work with for me as a pastor, that means a lot of evenings spent away from home, and in the midst of that, still trying to give enough attention to my family. And I'll have to confess that too often my family ended up getting the leftovers. And so even as the voice of experience, I say to you younger parents, make the most of every opportunity to shape your children in those precious years while they're still young, because they'll grow up before you know it. Psalm 127 verse 3 reminds us, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. When our children are born, We're filled with awe at the marvelous gift of a child. Right, Cassie? It's an amazing thing. But you know, sometimes as our children get older, it's almost like we lose that perspective. That perspective that our children are a gift from God and not just the result of our own fertility. Now, in the days of the Old Testament, children were the most important commodity a person could have because there was no pension plan. There was no old age security like we have today. And so when people got old in the days of the Bible, they depended on their children to provide for all their needs. And so it was no wonder that children were seen as a blessing from God. Now, in our society today, children are no less a blessing to parents in their older age. And yet I've heard many older people say, if I could live my life over again, I wouldn't be so busy with my work or my outside activities. I've never heard a person, when they're older, say, I wish I would have spent more time in my work. But what I have heard many times is people say, I wish I had spent more time with my children. Before I knew it, they were out of the house. As parents with young children, we can't give our primary commitment to our work and then to just have children on the side. As Bill Hybels says in his book, Honest to God, too many couples want to have children but seem unwilling to raise them. They seem to think that children will naturally raise themselves. Now, for those of you who are mothers who choose to stay at home full time, admittedly, that's not always easy when you feel you're being pulled in 10 directions by screaming and demanding children. Sometimes you need to remind yourself that it's worth it for the sake of your children. And for those of you who feel that you need to work outside the home, admittedly, it's not always so easy balancing a career with the responsibilities of being a parent. But don't shortchange the importance of your mother in your children's lives. It's the most important thing that you can do. And in either case, as fathers, whether mother is full-time at home or also working outside the home, as fathers, you need to do your part to shape your children's lives in a God-focused way and looking to God to lead you in that. As parents, we need to continually remind ourselves that our babysitters, our relatives, and our daycare workers, that they're not the ones who will one day need to give an account to God for how they have raised our children. God will ask you as parents to give an account as to how you have raised your children. Now, admittedly, that's kind of a sobering thing for us to think about, isn't it? But God doesn't dump our children into our laps merely in a haphazard way. God doesn't deliver our children as an inconvenience into our lives. Our children are a heritage from God, a gift to be cared for like a precious treasure. And sometimes we forget that there's no low-demand method for raising children. You can't just microwave children from infancy into adulthood. It takes time and energy to raise children by God's recipe. And young couples who seek a way of child rearing without being inconvenienced in an already full schedule, well, then we miss the whole point of having children in the first place. As true followers of Jesus, we don't have children merely for the fellowship factor, to avoid loneliness in later years or to pass on property or the family name. The primary reason for having children is to train and to motivate them to carry on the torch of an authentic Christianity into the next generation. That we invest ourselves fully into the lives of our children to help them become an irresistible display of God's grace in this world. That we show that they are beloved to us as parents, but that they are also beloved to God Himself. That's our motivation. That's our challenge for bearing and raising children in our lives. You see, raising a family involves more than just providing our children with their physical needs. When our children get older, you know what? They're not going to remember that they had a nicer home than everyone else. They're not going to remember that they had better clothes or better toys than their friends. What our children will remember is the good times that mom and dad spent with them. They will remember whether or not their parents modeled strong convictions about God in their daily living. So our most important calling as parents is to participate in the shaping of the lives of our children. Author Chuck Swindoll says, "The arrows that God delivers into our quiver need to be shaped and pointed towards the right target." What target? God as the primary target of our lives. And we need to provide a sheltered environment from the evil influences of this world where our children can see God displayed in us as parents. That's our primary responsibility. That we as parents, that we are imitators of Jesus within our homes. As Psalm 127 stresses, God sends His blessings upon the home where God remains the top priority. Now, admittedly, that's a full-time challenge for us as parents. Our season of parenting and even grandparenting, I mean, that fits into all this too. Our season of parenting and grandparenting is the ultimate spiritual challenge that's worthy of our most fervent prayers and our biggest investment of time and effort. It helps for us to take time to read books, to check out things out online, and to talk with other Christian parents about how we can improve our skills in that regard. We need to do all that we can to encourage our children's spiritual growth, even if at times that might slow down our career goals, even if that slows down our personal dreams in life for a while. We need to remember that God doesn't give us children so that we can merely fulfill our dreams through them. Our children are a gift from God to be nurtured towards God's purposes for their lives. Now, if we buy a new vehicle, we receive a service manual, right? We might not always look at it, but we get a service manual that's in the glove box, and it shows us how to have the proper maintenance for that vehicle. And we'll take our vehicle in for regular tune-ups to try to minimize breakdowns in the future. Well, guess what? Our families, they also require a regular checkup. For us to prayerfully ask before God, are there any potential trouble spots in our family? Are we all heading in the right direction? Is God truly the center of our home? And thankfully, God has provided a service manual for the Christian family. The service manual of God's Word. Psalm 127, verse 1 reminds us, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. In other words, there's more to life than our work. We might have a nice home. We might have a flourishing business. We might have a distinguished career. We might make a good income, but where does that ultimately lead us? Unless we build our home with God as the foundation, it's not worth building. Someone has said that if you bungle the job of raising your children, it doesn't really matter what else you do well. Now, I don't want to end this by saying, you know what, that it's all easy. And you know what? As parents, we all make mistakes. And for those of us who've already raised our children, we know we've made our mistakes. Parenting is one of those things in life that takes an on-the-job type of training. And too often we learn from our mistakes. But being an authentic parent means that we can be honest about our mistakes, that we can be honest about our weaknesses to our children, that we can admit that sometimes we're unrealistic and sometimes we're not always fair to them, that we can admit our own fears and our own struggles with them. And guess what? For those of us who have parents, our children, they already know that we don't have it all together as parents. And you know what? They'll respect us even more when we're willing to admit it. Because children, they can take a lot. But if there's anything that they can't stand, it's the double messages of parents who say one thing and then turn around and do the opposite. Children respect parents who are real people. Parents who are touchable, available, and approachable to their children. They respect parents who don't always try to control their children as much as looking to serve their children with an unselfish, Christ-like love. Now, admittedly, it's never easy trying to raise a family, let alone a Christian family. We're asking our children to be part of a minority group within today's culture. And I hope and pray that you will do whatever it takes to encourage your children to live their lives for Jesus in their lives. Now, even there, that's not ultimately something that we can control. And in my years of ministry, I've discovered that for many parents, the most painful thing in their lives is to see their children stray away from God and the church. And so the Bible urges us to prayerfully give it our best, to build our family on God's solid foundation. If we want our children to live for Jesus, we need to model it. We need to model it in our own lives. If we tell our children that God is important to us, and yet we show little enthusiasm about serving God in our own lives, they won't buy it. But if we show that our work and our hobbies, if we show that these things are more important to us than God Himself, that they're more important than, you know, our regular participation in His church, then we shouldn't be surprised that our children aren't going to be all that interested in God and His church either. What today's youth want more than anything else is to see parents model a personal and caring God in their lives, and not just some cold, abstract God who means little to their parents. Our children might not always agree with us, But they'll be much more open to God's Spirit working in their own lives when they see God's Spirit at work in the lives of their parents. When they see their parents love and serve God in response to God's amazing gift of love and grace to us in Jesus. And the good news of the Bible is that God doesn't expect us to be perfect parents, because there is no such thing. God uses parents who are authentic and available to their children. God uses parents who prayerfully look to Him for help and direction. God uses parents who read and teach the Bible to their children. And if that's not part of your family life at this point, it's never too late to change. God invites us to come to Him with our shortcomings, because that's why God sent Jesus into this world in the first place, to save us from our faults and our selfish motives. God loves us despite our own weaknesses. And God promises to guide us by His Word and His Spirit to build homes that are truly blessed by Him. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for the privilege that You've given many of us to be parents or grandparents. And Lord, it's an awesome responsibility, and we know that. And so, Lord God, this morning we want to pray that those of us who have been blessed to be parents, that You'll help us to take that responsibility seriously. And even, Lord, when there's brokenness in our family situations, that we may look to You to guide us even in those situations. Help us, Lord God, not to get sidetracked by being too focused on our work or hobbies or the things that we want to do, and that sometimes we ignore the needs of our children. Lord God, give us the grace and the leading of Your Holy Spirit to model an authentic and passionate relationship with You as our God, and that we model that to our children. That we may show our children that they are loved by You, because we ourselves are loved by You. And help us, Lord, to show that through our works, through our words and our actions, that You are more important to us than anything else in our lives, and that we show that to our children. Help us, Lord God, also to realize that even when we make mistakes as parents, and we all do, that You are a gracious God, that You are a forgiving God, that You are a God who provides new opportunities for us to try again, and that You are a God who works through us despite our weaknesses and our shortcomings. And so, Lord God, we pray for Your blessing, Your Holy Spirit's leading and guidance in every family, in every household represented here today. And help us, Lord God, also to encourage each other and to pray for each other. Lord God, it's not easy raising kids, but we need to stand together. And help us, Lord, not only to be concerned about our own families, but to remind ourselves that it takes a village to raise a child. And so, Lord God, help us to be that kind of church. And even for those of us who are maybe grandparents or already older, Lord, show us ways in which we can encourage the young families of this church, the young families of our community. And so, Lord God, we just pray for You to lead us and guide us in all that, and that we may do that out of thankfulness for what You have so graciously done for us in Jesus. In His name we pray this. Amen.